Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Narrative Aspirations. I am Sister Khalida Akbar, and we are going to start out by playing three PSAs, and then we will welcome our guests today.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, and we are back on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. We have a very special guest tonight. Brother Mark Shaheed is rejoining us for an episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we do go higher. We're going to take an opportunity to introduce him using his bio. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark Shaheed.
Alaikum assalam to you, Khalilah Akbar, and to your very astute radio listening audience there at AM 360 Radio. Thank you.
All right.
It's an honor to
You're
be
welcome.
With you tonight.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you. Mr. Mark Shaheed, and we're going to look at Brother Mark Shaheed in another aspect other than his courtship and marriage. We know he is well known for the excellent work that he does in courtship and marriage. However, tonight he's going to give us an insight into who he is. However, we are going to start with his bio. Mr. Mark Shaheed, a nationally recognized Muslim pioneer, he has been in this Islamic community for 56 years. Currently an active leader and member of Al-Mukminun Islamic Center of St. Louis, Missouri. For over 9 years, has been a member of the Majlis Ashura Board of Al-Mukminun Islamic Center. Mr. Shaheed was born and raised in St. Louis and is still a resident. For more than 14 years, Mr. Shaheed has been addressing critical issues as an advocate for healthy courtships, marriages, and family relationships. Mr. Shaheed is blessed to father 7 children, and he is the grandfather of 18. MashaAllah. For more than 38 years, Mr. Shaheed worked as an entrepreneur and contractor in the field of painting and decorating as designer, specializing in textures for ceiling and wall finishes. He worked for Walt Disney Production exclusively at Disneyland for 2 years in Anaheim, California, as a decorating specialist. Mr. Shaheed retired as vice president of Local 2341 of the Painters District, Council No. 2 in St. Louis, Missouri. For almost 11 years, Mr. Shaheed has devoted his time in supporting American Muslim 360 Radio and has held many positions. Mr. Shaheed served on the board of directors for Community Wide Shura Conference for 2 years and was public affairs relations director for both CWSC and AM 360 Radio. Mr. Shaheed also served as special senior consultant for the program manager of AM 360 Radio. Mr. Shaheed currently is talk show host, facilitator, and producer of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. He also hosts, facilitates, and produces the Sister Learning Lab, Parenting and Family Reconstruction. Mr. Shaheed is the former host and producer of the CWSC Roundtable. Where he interviewed many distinguished and esteemed guests inside and outside of the Muslim community on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. Mr. Shaheed has made presentations, created learning labs, developed workshops, instructed and facilitated various lectures on healthy male, female, and family relationships, courtship and marriage being of the many subjects which has helped many couples work through difficult issues. His focus is to help establish healthy relationships for couples, understanding the art and skill of listening and communicating better. His teaching style has been sought after for male, female, and family relationship workshops and lectures. He has been invited to make presentations and has appeared on Words Make People, Muslim Women in Action, Muslim Men in Action, Solution for Critical Issues, and many others. On The Female Solution, Mark Shaheed was co-host for over 3 years and was invited by the Black Hebrew Israelites to do lectures on courtship and marriage solutions. In 2017, Mark Shaheed received recognition for media excellence given by Muslim Journal, Time to be Grateful, in Washington, D.C. He also received a National Crystal Award from AMC 360. Mr. Shaheed is a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh. He loves the religion of Al-Islam and is always looking for opportunities to help others. He is currently with IWDM Radio and continues to host the three above mentioned productions. At this time, we're going to welcome Brother Mark Shaheed, and he is going to tell us a little bit about who he is outside of what we just heard on his bio. We want to know who you are. Welcome, Brother Mark Shaheed. Thank you for having
us
here on and joining us on Narrative Aspirations.
Alhamdulillah, that is the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbi alameen. Shadow ilah ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bye-bye. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, I want to greet you, Khalil Akbar, and to your very astute radio listening audience here at AM 360 Radio with the greetings of peace that only Allah can give. And it's the obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of the greeting of peace. Of Assalamu alaikum. It is indeed an honor to accept this invitation on Narrative Aspirations. But I think my bio pretty much said it. I was thinking it was going to be a mini bio, but it has said quite a bit. And you know, having been in the community for the period of time that I've been in the community, you know, serve, you know, different positions, because I didn't want to put that in there, but going back to the original Lost Foundation of Islam. I serve a position called FOI Secretary. You know, the Fruit of Islam is what it was called back then. I was the secretary for the FOI and held that position until I wanted to resign. And, of course, you don't resign a position in the Nation of Islam but without being properly relieved. For those of you listening, you know what I mean in regards to that. But then also I had the opportunity to serve as secretary, the secretary of Bahamas Mosque 28. And this was in the first experience. Of course, I came in 1967 in the 60s, in the turbulent 60s, as they say. And, you know, I was looking for a place that I thought that would give me more of a reality of who God was. And there were many black organizations and entities at that time, but I was really impressed by the Nation of Islam in terms of actually exemplifying true black power, or should I say empowerment of black people at that time, and seeing African-American men that was clean, suited, booted, and sisters that were very, very clean, very, very respectful, very courteous and all, having established businesses. That was an attraction. That was an attraction to me and all. So it was easy to make that decision in regards to that. And then the teachings, too, because it gave you a better sense of who you were as opposed to the negative teachings that you got in Christianity. So I come from a family that was Christian, Baptist, with Baptist tradition, and it just never did register with me, especially in the 60s when you could see water hoses and German shepherds that were put on our people for just wanting to be treated justly and equally. It's just something that kind of disturbed me and made me really just search to see if there was something that was better and more soothing to my soul, I guess, at that point, being a very young man at that time. So, and I was blessed, you know, to stay in the Nation of Islam, except for that little short period of time when I wanted to resign. You can't resign a post without properly relief. So I was excommunicated for a short period of time. And I thought that was the end, but, you know, praise be to Allah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sent the minister there in number two, Chicago, Illinois, Minister Yusuf Shaw, the second time. And those who have been put out of the temple for one reason or another, and by the way, it was a lot of people that was put out at that time and was welcomed back and had been back every since, and make the transition to the one that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that would come and teach us the religion. So from that point, I tried to be a student and study Imam W.D. Muhammad and began to study the Quran, the life example of the Prophet. And all of these things have been very, very helpful and beneficial to me in terms of the productions that you read in the bio, in terms of the two sister learning labs, which first was the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and also the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Well, both of those learning labs started right here on AM 360 radio. Of course, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is right at about close to 8.5 years, and we say, inshallah, God willing, that come October the 13th, 2024, this year, it'd be 9 years. continues on IWDM Radio, sister station. And also, we just celebrated the 7th anniversary of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that also started on AM 360 Radio all the way back to the year of 2017, the latter part of January. And, of course, now it's the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, you know, and the focus is still the same. So that's a little bit about me. I don't want to go on.
And we're going to take you on a different journey today. Inshallah. We're going to take you on a little bit of a different journey today. We know, based off of your bio and what we talked about in reference to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, but we want to know exactly how you are remaking the world into a better place for all people. Yes, we know through your learning labs, but we also want to know a little bit more about you, what your mission, goal, and objective is, and how you are implementing that. And so if you would start with your why do you do what you do? First of all, describe what it is that you actually do. In addition to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, if you can give us an example of how you are active in your community and what you currently have as a overreaching goal, inshallah.
Okay. Well, yes. Well, I'm presently a member of the Clara Muhammad School Committee, and I've been a part of that for years now. I've lost track. I would say at least we're going on next year. I believe we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary. Dr. Medina Wakil is our leader. She's our chairperson. And I recall I was on the Matchless Ashore when she came, and she told us what Allah had placed on her heart, because she has a PhD in education. And it seemed like to me she was expressing that she wanted support, and no hesitation or reservation on my part. I just said, well, I'm with you. And I've been with the committee for 9 years. Inshallah, next year it'll be 10 years. This is, I would say, my favorite charity in the community. Al-Mu'minun is education. I believe education is our number one priority. I teach that, preach that, try to live that in terms of education in every aspect. This religion of Al-Islam is a very comprehensive religion. It's a comprehensive point to the way of life that we live. So that's one of the ways that I serve, and I don't think it can be a better way than helping to educate our people and all people, because this is a comprehensive religion for all people, not just for African-American people.
Yes, can you, alhamdulillah, Brother Mark Shaheed, excellent. Can you tell us a little bit about the award that you had received from A Time to Be Grateful, and also what your current role is with A Time to Be Grateful or with Dr. Aisha Mustafa, and what is your initiative focused on this year? It says here in 2017 you received a Media Excellence Award. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and then a little bit more about your role now?
Yeah, well, you know, it really was a surprise. It was a surprise to me. It really was, and I didn't really pick up on it until late. Actually, in 2017, I was in Washington, D.C., and there was a sister that I knew there, Amina Abdullah, and her nephew, I believe, was with her, and there was another brother that was with us. I can't remember his name. But anyway, we went to a restaurant, and there at the restaurant, there was a reception that was there. And Sister Amina asked me, have you ever met Imam Talib Sharif? And I said, no. I said, but believe it or not, I've had him on the CWSC roundtable a couple of times, you know. So she said, would you like to meet him? I said, yes, I would. So she called him over, and he sat down beside me. And so he said, oh, so you're Mark Shaheed? I said, yeah. So I said, oh, you're Imam Talib Sharif? He said, yeah. So he said, we're going to be presenting an award to you, you know, at the banquet. Now, I didn't think it was to or for me, per se. And so I thought that it was going to be an ambassador to be there with the Imam Abdul Aziz in that regard. And so I began to express that. He said, no, no. He said, no, you'll be the recipient of the award. I still didn't get it. I didn't get it until actually we was there sitting at the awards table. I was seated there next to my good brother and friend, Imam Fahim Shuaib. And I didn't know that Imam Kazem Ahmed was sitting at a table behind us. And so it was Anissa Dewan and my good friend Preacher Moss, the comedian. He was the preacher, and Anissa Dewan was the teacher. They co-emceed that in Washington, D.C. And so it was Anissa Dewan that read it, said, you know, this year award for excellence in broadcasting goes to Brother Mark Shaheed. And I was just really stunned, surprised, and everything. But I know that by this venue, AM 360, which I worked very diligently to help to build, and CWSC, I acknowledge the founders, my good brother and friend, the twin seven of peace, Thomas Abdul Salam, and Dr. Aisha Kareem, in their work and effort, and others that came before me, and also the very distinguished, esteemed hosts that we had at that time, and you still have very distinguished, esteemed hosts in terms of that. So I felt like I was accepting it on behalf of all, but it was very gratifying, but very humbling to have received that award, because there's so many, I think, could or would have been deserving of that, and also it was a very humbling experience for me in Washington, D.C.
Okay, so move. That was beautiful, because I was there as well, and I really wanted to know exactly what were the specifications of excellence in broadcasting. Did they tell you why you were selected, or what do you think?
Well, no, I never. I never got that, but I do know that I did get from Martha Naila in conversation. This is when we celebrated at that time the 10th anniversary of AM 360 in a conversation. I had three productions, and two out of the three productions that I had was one and two, first and second. The CWSC Roundtable was the most attended listenership AM 360 at one time. And the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab was the second at that time. The Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, it was not at the top. It was still building at that point. But I'm thinking I think that had something to do with what it was that that the time to be grateful, and I think that Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, because I took it upon myself, I thought it was noteworthy in terms of what was started when our beloved leader and teacher Imam Muhammad was with us, and what it was that the vision, the mission that he had, and how this all came about. So I was always about helping to promote valuable, viable entities in our community, And I just thank Allah for inspiring me to do that. And I think that they really appreciate it because I was always very courteous and very respectful and never took anybody for granted whenever they was invited to the CWSC roundtable. And they was always glad to accept a return visit. And I always would call them afterwards and thank them personally. I just didn't thank my guests nationally. I will always do that, but I would call them personally and thank them, and I still do that today.
MashaAllah, that is excellent, and that is very great as far as etiquette, professionalism. And so moving forward to 2024, those of us who attended the Time to Be Grateful, we heard your name being announced again with Dr. Aisha Mustafa. Can you tell us exactly what your role is now and what your goal and objectives are for 2020?
Well, now I'm I've been designated, not that I needed any more work to do, Khalil Akbar, but I'm now a member of the Lifetime Subscribers for Muslim Journal. And just having a conversation, as most of you know now by now, that the new home for the Muslim Journal is in Newark, New Jersey. That's the new home. There's a decision made by the long-term editor, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, to put it in Newark, New Jersey. And for those who don't know Newark, New Jersey, even back in the days of the Nation of Islam, it was always generally in the top three or five of the mosques, the temples at that time, and selling the Muhammad Speaks newspapers. So in doing that and having a conversation with Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, who is the president of the board of directors for the Muslim Journal, I guess he said, you know, he wanted me to be an advocate. He wanted me to take the lead in terms of doing that. And I accepted that as to be the spokesman for Lifetime Subscribers for the Muslim Journal. And those of you, most of you know, I'm not able to really read or anything, but I do believe that the Muslim Journal is and has been for a long time the lifeblood of our community, and that this should be a part of the legacy for our community, and this should be something that we can do, especially those of us who have the wherewithal to do it. So I'm really honored to be a national spokesman for Lifetime Subscribers of the Muslim Journal. And, of course, this year there will be an honorary tribute that will be paid to those that have lifetime subscriptions. And this might be a good time to say to those that are listening in, if you have the wherewithal to do that, you know, Allah is the best knower, then you can contact me and I can tell you different ways that you can become a lifetime subscriber of the Muslim Journal.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. And we will give you that opportunity when we come back to share exactly how our listening audience can become a lifetime member of the Muslim Journal. I am your host, Sister Khalida Akbar, welcoming you to Narrative Aspirations. We'll be right back, inshallah, after this station.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And so we are back, and we're going to give Brother Mark Shahid the opportunity to share with us how we can become lifelong pledgers to the Muslim Journal, or subscribers to the Muslim Journal.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, it's $1,000 to become a lifetime subscriber of the Muslim Journal. You don't have to pay it all at one time. You can do a six month, $500, and that would put you at that price to become a lifetime subscriber, which is really a good deal. Or you can pay it quarterly, like $250, $250, $250, $250, and that would put you at $1,000. And as long as you live, and we actually are working, Khalilah Akbar, on how that could be passed on to a family member or to a friend or a colleague or maybe somebody in the Muslim community. If you're concerned about your age or being up in age, that is, in that regard. So this will help to support the Muslim Journal. As we know, for years it's been struggling after COVID. It took a big hit, as all major newspapers have. So we really want to substantiate the Muslim Journal, where it's in the black, it's not in the red. So in addition to that, Sister Khalilah Akbar, we also are asking those persons that may have dropped their subscription to pick it back up again. And those who may have a one-year subscription, we're asking them to do more in 2024. That's the theme that we have on IWDM, to do more in 2024. And so then we want you to double that. And even if you can't become a lifetime subscriber, if you have the wherewithal, think about a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a member in your community, a pioneer, your library, or those that may be in the penal institution where you can make it a gift. We know Ramadan is coming up, and afterward there will be gifts that will be given. Think about the Muslim subscription to the Muslim Journal being a possible gift that you can actually give. And those that want, they can call me direct at area code 314-435-7213. That's 314-435-7213. And I can talk to you more in terms of detail. But we're looking to increase the lifetime subscribers of the Muslim Journal. And so far, it's coming along pretty good. We have members like Imam, we call him Sheikh Imam A.K. Hassan. Many know he's been around a long time Imam there, out there in Southern California, Los Angeles, one of the first lifetime subscribers. And there's many others. And come this year, inshallah, the 20th anniversary, there in Miami, Florida, all the lifetime subscribers will be honored this year, inshallah, God willing, this year. They will get recognition. So we're looking to really increase this total so that the Muslim Journal can be stable in this new home in Newark, New Jersey.
Alhamdulillah. So we're going to keep that in perspective and dua. And so, listening audience, if you're able, go ahead and follow up with Brother Mark Shahid in reference to your lifetime membership with the Muslim Journal or subscription. We're going to move on. I am your host, Sister Khalilah Akbar. We're going to ask you, Brother Mark Shahid, and read your bio. I like the way you kind of developed a curriculum for courtship and marriage and parent and family reconstruction. Can you give us a little bit about your educational journey and what inspired you to focus on those components of community life?
Well, yeah, you know, I look back at my past in terms of coming up. I had a good mother, but I never had a father. I had a daddy. I didn't have a father. And those of you who listen to me, I make the distinction between daddy and father. Father is a role, a responsibility. A daddy, if you're not impotent, you can become a daddy, you see. And I didn't experience that. And I got curious in terms of the sacred institution of marriage and all of that. Curiosity is what Allah puts into us, and it becomes a driving force to really want to learn that. That's one way of doing it, experiencing that. Errors, mistakes, all of those things become a part of the learning experience. As a matter of fact, in learning labs and workshops and lectures, the word learning is life experiences are really necessary in new growth or nurturing growth, you see. So life experiences became an inspiration, a motivation for these learning labs. And so after courtship and marriage, a learning lab, sometimes in the morning, just sitting in meditation and thinking, it dawned on me. So I know it was an inspiration from Allah in regards to, well, you have to grow up first. So that's the socialization and culturation. The first social institution in human society is the family life, and Allah tells us that in the Quran. But then the marriage life, it comes, and it's supposed to continuously to produce the sacred institution of family life in that regard. So it dawned on me that we needed to have a parenting and family reconstruction learning lab that would help us to understand what parenting really is from an Islamic perspective. We never had a manual, especially African American people. We just had families. As a matter of fact, it was even planned family, really, to say planned family that you hear about, planned familyhood or parenthood. So I thought about that in how we would actually do that. And following the lead of Imam W.D. Muhammad, when he said, in definition is direction, and since that time I've added correction there, because if we're misdirected, we're incorrect, it's probably because we have misdefined what parenting is. And so I sat down and I just thought and thought. So the definition that I came up was very simplistic, but a very profound definition, in that we gave on the parenting, family reconstruction, and learning lab, that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and yes, the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. And in that definition, we wanted to dismiss the misnomer, the misconception and perception that this was the role of the mother only. No, of both the father and the mother, and they should be married. You know, that acronym we use for family is father and mother, inevitably loving you. And unfortunately, many children, they're born out of wedlock. That's not their fault. They're still legitimate children with legitimate needs and rights that they have. So over a period of time, we've talked about that in the Learning Lab in terms of the rights of men, the rights of women, rights of husbands, the rights of wives, the rights of orphans, all the God's human creation, they have rights. And what is the rights of one becomes the obligation, the responsibility of the others and all. So it really it was a need. It was a need. And I would say that I began to really start thinking about it when CWSC had its second town hall meeting right here in the Gateway City, St. Louis, Missouri, in talking with the twin servant of peace. He was there. He wasn't in the best of health and all. And we had breakouts. We had breakouts of various topics. And courtship and marriage was one of those topics. And it was so ironic that there were sometimes three or four in different topics in the breakout to discuss. But I was the only one that took on the breakout that my courtship and marriage. So I asked, I said, what should I do? I asked Twin Servant Peace. He said, well, that's the way it goes sometime. And I was sitting there by myself. But then I stayed with that. And then when the opportunity came along, at AM360, where we had some time that was available, and it started out, it was going to be a 90-day, maybe say, mini course on courtship and marriage, but the results were so good on AM360, then it just inspired me to make it a learning lab.
That's MashaAllah, and that'll be wonderful. And I see you're still doing that. You're still carrying that torch. You're still passionate about it. You're still learning and growing.
Oh, yeah.
Daily.
Matter of fact, Leah Akbar, we've taken it to another level, because I have to say this is very important, because the dissemination of information, education on the Learning Lab, we use now four sources for foundation. First is Al-Quran, and then it is the life example of the Prophet in living the Quran, and then it's the tafsir, and I say tafsir is the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad, and the fourth is social science, and that's for both of the learning labs, the sister learning lab, courtship and marriage, and also for the parenting, family reconstruction learning lab, so that it stays on course, the mission, the vision, the mission, for that to actually help us, to give us correct information from an Islamic perspective. This is very important, because the many have opinions and everything, or have feelings about certain things, but we want to know what it is that God says to us in regards to both of these sacred institutions, and they're sacred institutions, both marriage and also family life. And we also, you understand, want the same for the family, for the parenting, family reconstruction learning lab. We use that same foundation for disseminating information and education.
And that's excellent. And we all know that the family typically is the first people in your life that teaches you your value system. It is your mother, inshallah, is your first and foremost teacher. We know that dynamic has changed. We have families of all different statues grandmoms, aunties, etc., but who your home environment, whoever that person is the main first teacher in your life. It's where you get your values from, because you don't go to school till you're about 3, 4, or 5. So that home life is very important, that you have a foundation of human excellence, or at least a moral foundation of simplistic values on how to be a decent human being. And a lot of times it's before religion even comes into play. We know that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a righteous person before he became the Prophet of Allah. He didn't know that he was going to be the Prophet of Allah. But it's important for us to reflect that Allah only chooses people who exuberate those characteristics, who are already good in nature, who are already good in character, because he tells us that every child of Adam is born in an excellent mode. He's given all of us a consciousness, no matter if you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, you know right from wrong. So there's not going to be any exceptions for people. We basically have the same 10 commandments in the Abrahamic faith. And if I may, I wanted to, acknowledge what you were saying, because the family environment is so important. It impacts us all the way through life, especially when we have our own families. And we see a lot of those behavior patterns playing out generation to generation. So when you identify an issue or something that's great, you want to address the issue immediately, seek counsel, look at how you can correct the problem without passing it down from generation to generation. Because, it can be very traumatic. We've all heard of generational curses. I don't know if Muslims even speak like that, but I do know that things that have been unfortunate in one generation can easily be modeled and passed down from children to children to children. And before you know it, if you do your family tree or you look at behavior patterns, you have instances of repeated behavior patterns of broken families, of children out of wedlock, of abuse, of divorce, of whatever the situation may be, or functional families, two-parent homes, parents who have weathered this storm, have a nice amount of money saved up to create generational wealth for their children, have stable households, have stable businesses or employment, have built their own narrative, so to speak. So it's positive and negative in all things, and we want to keep that balance. We also want to ask you, as you are living and learning and believing in this, obviously you've been doing it over 9 years, we want to ask you how it has impacted your life and what is the most monumental thing that you know you as a believer have learned and benefited from it, and what would you like to improve on, inshallah?
Actually, more than 9 years, more like close to 15 years, or maybe even a little bit more. Now, I was actually doing that for other people before the Muslim community. And so, yes, as you learn, it always impacts your life, too, in regards to your mindset, your disposition, and all. Really help people even more, making sure that the focus is what it should be, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means that Allah, the Most High, who's perfect and above any mistakes, errors, and shortcomings, is actually guiding you. I don't want to just speak from personal feelings or emotions, or just my opinions. I don't do that. And I ask Allah in my dua to actually guide me. That's my dua all the time, every day. That's my dua. And I think that's so very, very important, because we can be influenced. And Shaitan can influence you from a station that you're not even aware of in that regard. So, you know, when we say the Istiada, A'udhu bin Lahi min Shaitan al-Rajim, we need to know that we need to always be mindful and conscious of that. As Imam Muhammad has taught us in the class, that we should say that, we should say it silently to ourselves. We don't always have to say it out vocally where it could be heard. As a matter of fact, Imam Muhammad even told us his personal opinion was that Shaitan does not deserve to have his name mentioned before Allah's name. And oftentimes, even when we're reciting Al-Fatiha, we say the Isti'ana as if and though that it's a part of Al-Fatiha. No, he said, all you have to do is just say it, but say it silently to yourself. But there are times that you have to say it in terms of circumstances and situations and conditions that you may have in your own life in that regard, because you want to always seek the shelter. You want to seek the protection, the refuge is the shelter and the protection from Allah against the avowed enemy of the human being, not the avowed enemy of Allah, but of his human creation. So we have to be conscious of that, and we always are seeking God's guidance as we recite that in Al-Fatiha, in Dina Siratul Mustaqim, that guide us on the straight path, and that's in every aspect of life, but especially with those two sacred institutions of family, as you so eloquently articulated. That's the first institution we come into, and then we grow up, and then we'll come into the second institution, sacred institution of marriage, that is to produce family again and again and again. So, yes, that's very, very important, and it's very important that when you have that and you make yourself be a servant for God and understand what your mission is and can be focused on that, and then accept God's guidance in that regard, then that spells success. Success is a word, teleologist, that word success. You want to see your goal. If you want to spell success in your mind, you want to see your goal. And you want to understand that there will be obstacles. And C, you want to clear your mind of self-doubt. The second C is that you want to create a positive mental picture. You can't be it until you see it. E, you want to embrace your challenges. Yeah, you want to embrace the challenges. You don't run away from your challenges. You embrace your challenges. And S is that you want to stay on track or stay focused. And that word focus is follow one course until successful. And for the Muslim and the Mu'min, following one course until successful is the course of Al-Islam, of course. And then finally, S, you want to show yourself and you want to show the world that you can do it. And that you can do it, and that you can help others in the process in terms of doing it. I'll stop there.
And that is wonderful. And I know for me, I'm also a teacher, and we know teaching is self-reflective. And I always know that, and I truly believe that teachers are not perfect. Imams are not perfect. Sometimes people have this halo over heads of leaders and thinking that they have it all together. Counselors are not perfect. I know my father has been an imam for ever since I was six, and he always says every imam needs an imam. And so with that said, the transparency that comes through that is an avenue that helps us identify how to help ourselves so we can help others. And I truly believe that everything that we do begins with self. I know from my own personal experience, you have to be able to tap into your own personal experience in order to be an effective leader, because a lot of things in information that we find in books can be idealistic because they don't always have the dynamics. They don't have the set of circumstances. They don't have the background history. So it's important to see ourselves in the context of that book, of that information that we're reading, and knowing how to apply it in our set of circumstances. And that can be very, very difficult, especially if we are not self-aware, if we don't have an accurate depiction of even how to even apply it or what we need to fix. And we know we're getting ready to go into the month of Ramadan. And Ramadan, one of the things that Ramadan does, it forces us to work on our own nafs. It forces us to look inside before we look outside. And one of the things that we know about the hadith, about the three people that work so hard for Allah, and every time I hear this, I want to say, Astaghfirullah. I remember my father saying, before he gets up to speak to people, he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, to himself. Like you said, he asked Allah to let what he's doing be for him and for him only, not
yes.
for any other reason, because we're human. We can be impacted. You know, you got your haters, your people who want to give you a test and question you word for word and ask you, is it hadith, and identify it here and there. And that natural ego or that self-defense can come up. And then you're going back and forth trying to prove yourself, and then you lost track. It's no longer feasible to the law, because it becomes a personal thing between you and the shaitan or whoever's trying to get into your, you know, get into your mind. Or maybe it's a sincere question. But what I'm saying is keep things in perspective. And so I want to encourage our listening audience to, no matter who you're listening to, be it Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Alale, I remember he said, I even heard him, that certain things on marriage, don't ask him, because he was challenged in that area. There is no human being that knows everything about anything. So we want to make sure when we're disseminating information that we let people know that we're human, we're approachable, we don't have all the answers. But as you said, Brother Mark Shaheed, we are striving to live by the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayh, and also our leadership was excellent, Imam W.D. Muhammad. But I think when we get to looking at people's personal lives and following them, even in their personal life, when it's clear that they're challenged in areas, when we put people up on pedestals that they don't want to be put up on, that's when it can be a problem. It can create generational dysfunction. It can create misguidedness. And even in the best of intentions, it could be misinterpreted. And so I strongly suggest that people during the month of Ramadan take time to reflect on you, because no one's going to stand in front of Allah with us, right? And so we know that it is a return to the fitra, right? We're going to return to the fitra. We're going to increase our reading, the Quran. We're going to be fasting from ourselves first. Even with my recent situation, I took some black seed oil, and it altered my voice because it burnt my throat, and I just turned it up, and I had never used that brand before or even really used it regularly. But even in that, I looked for the sign in that. I said, maybe I just need to be quiet and listen more. Really, I did. I know that sounds funny, but everything allows, nothing happens. Nothing happens just because. And I know, or maybe I need to read the directions and use a spoon. I don't want to be too spooky, but I'm saying Allah says to pay attention to his signs. And so no stone can be left unturned. We don't want to, as you said, take anything for granted. We do want to go to the Quran, because as we know in Surah 19, when Maryam was going through her trial, she was not able to speak. She was instructed not to speak to anyone for 3 days. And also when Zechariah was going through what Allah was revealing to him, he had to signal to the people not to speak. And so even though those were different scenarios and that was a totally different situation, we look for the commonality in our personal life and look for the message in that. Maybe it's time for you to be quiet, read, reflect, and listen and learn a little bit more and not have to have all the answers. And that's just something simple. That's something that I'm reflecting on myself. So with that said, I want you to wrap us up because we are going to be going to listen to our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. We're going to take the best of what he said, his best examples, and we're going to use them in our life. And we're going to also look at how we can look at our own lives and make ourselves better. There's always room for improvement, and we want to do that.
Well,
so
yeah.
What is the model that you live by? How can you sum it up? And what do you as a person want to leave the world
I agree with everything you said 100%. Nobody's infallible. And because if that was the case, then nobody would be able to speak or say anything. So we won't disqualify ourselves in terms of doing that. Yes, but my model, and I gave it to my children, and I strive to live by it myself. There's good, there's better, and there's best. You should never give it a rest until your good becomes your better. And your better becomes your best. Then and only then can you rest. It becomes an internal challenge that all human beings have to be the best that they possibly can be, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, has said in the Quran, He created us in the best of mold. So to do anything less than the best would be actually cheating and robbing ourselves out of realizing our full potential. And Allah has given abundance to many in His human creation. So to understand your life purpose, and there's a word, talent, just that word purpose, it's a personal understanding of the revealed plan of successful existence. It's a personal understanding of the revealed plan that Allah has for you. As you were speaking about, that is a revealed plan for all of us for successful existence here in this temporal life that we live. And understanding that and realizing that, recognizing that, then it's incumbent upon us to do that, because that is how we would serve Allah, through serving not only our family but our community but humanity at large in that regard. So that's how I would end that and say that let's make sure that whatever it is that we do our best. We want to do it with excellence. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whenever a believer endeavors to do anything, they seek to do it with excellence. And that should be the model all of us have while we're in this temporal life and all. And I'd like to close with a dua, if I may. Talila Akbar, are you there? I hope her call hasn't dropped. Talila Akbar? Khalida Akbar. Well, I can't hear you. I don't know if I'm being heard. I think maybe I should hang up and try to call back in. Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Can I be heard? I know what happened. Khalil Akbar, are you there? Well, somebody unmuted me.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ni'mat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays.
We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Khalida Akbar, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we have some technical difficulties. My apologies. We have a caller in the queue. We have 2 callers in the queue, and then we'll play Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Alale. First, we're going to go with 773. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Amir Muhammad Shaheed. I had decided to get on your call today because I never had really totally listened to a complete program that you had, and I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed it, and such wisdom came from you as well as Brother Mark Shaheed, and it's a growth period. You know, sometimes we're not as knowledgeable as we may think we are, and we should always stay open to learn from others. And it's something that Mark says all the time, don't just talk about it, but be about it. I found this show to be very, very informative, and I just want to say I enjoyed it and I appreciate it. And I ask Allah, you know, this Ramadan to show me me. Show me me, because we all learn and do better, you know, and, ask Allah for the light of understanding, you know. And we also have to know that whatever the will of Allah is, you know, we can want certain things in our life or certain people in our life. But when it all comes down to it, what does Allah decree? You know, what does he say in his holy Quran that we stand on as our principles and our beliefs, and we don't deviate from that? You know, don't make it my way, make it thy way. So I just saw so much and heard so much tonight that, like I said, when I come out of Ramadan, I want to be a different person, you know, and just really surrender and submit to the will of Allah. And so I just want to say thank you. And I noticed something about your voice, and I said, oh, my goodness. And then when you mentioned the Black Seed, oh, I've experienced that too, Sister Khalila. That's
really?
A strong
woman. Well, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, it was ringing my ears and everything. Go ahead. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What I usually do now, though, I'll mix it with some juice or I mix it with some tea. I just cannot do it, like, raw. You know, so But it works so much better when I, you know, dilute it. So sometimes the Lord pray for your speedy recovery on your throat. So may
Thank
I continue
you.
Bless
you. Yes.
And Brother Mark, and I want to say happy birthday to Brother Mark.
Alhamdulillah. That is so beautiful and sweet.
Yeah. Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Sister Amira. Brother Mark, would you like to respond? Your mic is open.
Oh, I didn't even know it was back on. I didn't know what had happened. It just went bloop. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for the invitation. I enjoyed the invitation here to AM360 Radio Narrative Aspirations. And I want to just say may Allah continue to bless you and us in this 2024 blessed Ramadan for us all. Have a blessed Ramadan. I'd like to close with a dua, if that's okay with you. Are you there, Khalida Akbar?
Yes, I'm here. This phone really played a trick on me today. It went on airplane mode, and I didn't put it there. But alhamdulillah. We're going to go to 708-220. Did you still have a question or comment? I know at one point there was a 708 who had a question. We apologize for the technical difficulty.
Yes, I'm here. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. This is Sister Manira Habil Uma. Yes, and I was just calling into the studio to see if I could be of assistance during the technical difficulties. And so I'm so thankful to Allah that you were able to get back in the host seat. Okay, so that was my reason for pressing one. But while I'm here, I would like to say alhamdulillah and congratulate everyone on all their efforts and all of their work that has been done thus far, and we're not done yet. So inshallah, may Allah bless us with the energy and the ability to keep striving and to keep working to establish the community life. So very, very good program this evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Go ahead and read some time, please.
Pardon me?
I said for you to go ahead and finish your response. Inshallah.
Oh, no, I was just going to close with a dua. Unless you have some other callers.
I don't, but I wanted to thank Sister Manir Habil for all her work that she's doing and has continued to do on the courtship and marriage, well, learning lab, and also it's all about courtship and marriage. I want to thank her.
Yes.
And inshallah, I'll be tuning in.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
With my
schedule. Yeah, that's really a continuum as I see it. And, you know, she's been doing an outstanding job when it's all about courtship and marriage. Every opportunity I get, I'm not always able to actually listen, but I actually tape it, and I listen to it in my leisure time, which I don't have a lot of leisure time these days. So, but anyway, I want to congratulate her for an excellent job also. Continuation of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on AM360 Radio.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And while I'm here, I just wanted to give a small plug, if I could, that on March 26th, Imam Fahim Shuaib has agreed to appear on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And we're going to be addressing, from the information that we compiled on the program from Muslim men in the community of Imam Wafdi Muhammad, as to why they married their wives. So we're going to be putting together a program that we can then use to send out to masjids to have halakha with young men on why Muslim men marry their wives and the qualities that they look for. So join us on March 26th from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for this program, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. There it is, practical application. Alhamdulillah. We'll look forward to tuning in to that. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Brother Mark Shaheed, if you don't mind, go ahead and closing us out with a dua, and then we'll play Imam W.D. Muhammad, inshallah. Rahim Alameh.
Yes. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah. O Allah, please guide our minds, our hearts, and our spirit to be in accord with your will. And O Allah, please continuously increase us in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word, your will, and your way, that we may become better servants unto you and your cause. O Allah, only allow us to hear, to see, to think, to say, and to do that which you would have us to do with the spirit that you would have us to do it with. And, O Allah, forever guide us, direct us, correct us, protect us, now and always. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you so much for joining. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And thank you for the invitation. Alhamdulillah.
You're welcome. Alhamdulillah.
Will you stop talking? I don't want to think. I don't want to think. Now, she was a little bit conscious. Yes, she was.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar. We praise God. And we witness that he is one and cares about all of us. All people, all nations, all the worlds. And we witness that the final revelation, the Quran, is revealed to Muhammad, and he's a messenger to all the people of earth, and he's a mercy to all people and a mercy to all the worlds. We appreciate this opportunity to address the radio audience and to be here on this first Sunday of the year and this first day of the year. And I wish all of you all a happy new year and a very prosperous new year. We hope that the year we're in now will be better than the year that just went out. And I believe it will be for all of us. We're addressing the need for reform. The future that we are facing is going to bring about more demand for reform, more support for reform. Reform for public education in the United States of America, but also reform for almost everything that we have been supported by. Everything almost that we have been supported by. This is a new world we're living in. It's a new time and a new world. The world was once having one-sidedness, just seeing one way, and was not respecting the whole people are the whole population of this planet Earth. It was moving very selfishly. in the direction of what it wanted, and ignoring justice. Before 1945, the world had no, quote, institution, end quote, or legal organization whereby a nation threatened by another nation could take its complaints and be heard. A Catholic peace building movement publishes a magazine titled Living City. One of this featured article says, after 60 years, the United Nations will be facing a demand for more serious reform. Public education in the United States, the natural environment, respecting the natural environment for the good of the environment itself, but also to save human life on this planet, shrinking fuel supplies, poverty and starvation are all on the world scene and on the agenda of conscious nations. At home in our big and small cities, reform is becoming the more pressing issue. Feeling and perception also needs reforming. How we feel about things and how we perceive or understand things. Communities must support efforts to reform popular thinking and attitudes. Emotions are too high. Human intelligence will be approached in the future more directly. People will be demanded to use their brains more and respect intelligence and respect intelligent behavior. As the world tries to keep its old habit of dancing and singing troubles away, the world gets more messy. Morals become more confused and human abuses more horrifying. Think of human bodies as a human body. Think of the human body that it is a vehicle, you know, like an automobile, a truck, or whatever, a motor vehicle. Think of the human body as a motor vehicle. Now, I know when I was young, I wanted to drive, long before I was of age to drive. I used to ride in the car with senior or older brothers in the temple who had cars, called temple back then, the place of worship. And I'd sit there and I'd be imagining myself under the wheel. And my father, sometimes, occasionally, he would try to take us in his car, and I was there imagining myself under the wheel. I got the opportunity to drive a truck long before I was of age. This brother asked me, I was about 14 years old, he said, would you like to go with me and make some extra money? I said, yes. So I went with him. He had a nice truck, like maybe a two-ton truck. And that's the way I remember it. I think, looking at it with my eyes now, I think it's probably about 2.5 ton maybe. And he would load it, overload it, with what we call junk. And he would take the junk to the junkyard. And he would sell glass. He'd sell metal he'd pick up, and he would pick up a lot of paper and cardboard. He would sell that and rags, old rags. And once we were driving along, I think it was 43rd Street, and he said, would you like to try it? I said, yes. So he pulled over and stopped, and I got under the wheel. And believe me, I drove well the first time under the wheel because I had been driving all the time. Imagining myself in the driver's seat all the time. So it wasn't difficult. I just followed what I was observing. I did the same thing, and I had to get used to everything. But I even measured spaces, you know. While the other driver was driving, I would imagine the space he could get through and the spaces he could not get through. So I drove that truck, and seeing all these vehicles now on the road, and some of the people that's in them, they passed, they got their license, but really, they shouldn't be behind the wheel. Some of them look like they're trying to hit me, and I'm dodging them. It looks like they're trying to follow me to hit me. I don't know. This is really a unconscious world, a world that's got a spirit controlling it. Most of the people are controlled by a spirit that's not intelligent. It's not the spirit that came from good parents. It's not the spirit that came from good teaching, education. No. It's not the spirit that comes from the individual's good thinking. It's another spirit. And that spirit is really causing us a lot. So we're going to have to reform our spirit. We have to reform our spirit. And we can reform our spirit. All you have to do is reform the way you think. Reform the way you think and everything will change for the better. As the Bible says, and as the philosopher said before the Bible had it, a philosopher said, as a man thinketh, so is he. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the Quran says, think, for surely thinking will profit you. Yes, think. And W.E.B. Du Bois says, our political leader, and well, really, he started the NAACP. He was the one to start what we call now the NAACP. He said, our people will progress in the measure that we are willing to teach our children to think. Think. I remember parents correcting us. Hey, you better use your head. You better think. They would insist that we think. Behavior without thought is blind behavior. And a lot of good habit is acceptable, but crazy habit is not. Imagine now, your car or a truck, a motor vehicle, and you're going down the street, flying down the street at the speed limit or above. You have no brakes. Your steering doesn't work. You grab the wheel and it doesn't work. It won't turn your left or right. No brakes and no steering. You wouldn't drive a vehicle like that. But many of us live like that. No brakes. No steering. In fact, when we see the danger, instead of turning left to get out of the way of it, we persist in just going headlong the same way. So we are having a spirit and a behavior that's reckless. At risk behavior. Terribly at risk behavior. We need to reform it. And we got to reform it. We don't have homes anymore, the majority of us, that represent intelligent guidance for us. And it's not because it's not wanted in those homes. It's because the world scene, and for most of us, I'm speaking of right now, in these towns and cities that I mentioned earlier, the world scene is a street scene. The behavior in the streets, the attitudes in the streets, the things that attract your attention, you who are in the streets, the songs you listen to, the music you like, the movies you like. And by the way, we need to reform our mind so that our minds will come up from being so low down.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Come on.
It's a shame that I can't find hardly a decent movie in some of these African-American neighborhoods, some of the black neighborhoods. I can't find a decent movie. And I got really fed up, and I was getting a little angry. I said, I'm going to approach the management. And something told me, no, don't bother the management. The management is only showing what they will support. And I recall watching a nice movie on the weekend. Nice movie. Hardly nobody there watching it but me and my little son, my son, and maybe two or three other people. And I recall being alone just with my son and whoever was with us. Sometimes I have someone else with us. Now my wife is with us when we go half the time that we go. She's not a habitual movie goer like we are. My son and I, we don't know anything to do. When we get off of work, we say, oh, a movie. A restaurant and a movie. So we're watching this movie and it comes to my mind, ain't nobody here. And after it happened several times that we are watching a nice, great, high-class movie, nobody there but us, then it registered on my mind. Our people don't support movies like this. The average one in these African-American neighborhoods, they don't support class. They don't support culture. They don't support quality. All they want to see is violence and sex. Violence and sex. They get the big crowds, the movies that have a lot of violence and a lot of sex. They get the big crowds. They're decent movies that will feed your mind and help you get your life straight or help you keep your life straight. Nobody wants to see those. So I've given up really appealing to those people of minds like that, whether young or old, whether it's our youngsters, our teenagers, or old. My address to you on this day and every day I speak every first Sunday on live broadcast or the radio broadcast. My interest is reaching those who care about life, not those who have given up on it. Those who care about life, because they can't help themselves and they can't help you. If they could help themselves, they wouldn't be in that condition. And if we could help them, they'd be here listening to us. They have no interest in what we are saying. They have no less interest in anything but what got them, what's holding them. Vulgarity, violence, love for vulgarity and love for crime. Crime. That's a crime to treat yourself that way. It's a crime to treat your life the way you treat your life. And we want the conscious ones that are in our hearing range, in the radio audience and here at this facility, we want the conscious ones to register more the hurt on society, the hurt on human life. Think about it more and register it more so you will do more about it.
Yes.
They can't help themselves. Spiritually, they're dead.
Right.
Morally, they're dead.
Right.
So how can you raise the dead if they insist upon living in the graveyard? And the big cities, they make more and more room for you. If you want to live in the graveyard, they'll turn over some more land to you to increase the area for the dead. Oh, yeah. They ain't running out of no space when it comes to accommodating the dead. You want to die and go 6 feet under, they're ready for you. Got plenty of land, more. If your graveyard in your area is filling up, they got plenty of land available. They'll accommodate you if you want to go down in the grave, the grave of moral decay. Moral rot. We have to reform the behavior. We can save those who are conscious. It's the best help that a conscious person needs, and the help that helps them the most is just to know that there's somebody else conscious. And we want you out there in the radio audience that are conscious, still alive morally, still respect things of importance, still care about human life and human suffering. We want you to know that we are alive with you, and we want us all to be together. Let us be together, one spirit. God has made us one spirit, and God has made us one life. Human life and human spirit. And if you are in human life and like to remain human, you have human spirit.
That's right.
So we are one and the same. And I'm thankful to God, as we say thankful to Allah, yes. Muslims say thankful to Allah, that we still have conscious people on this earth who will not give in to the pressure to go 6 feet under. And there are plenty of pressure out there to go 6 feet under.
Right.
Plenty of it. Not much help to keep your life in a good condition, but a lot of help if you want to destroy your life. you know, I was thinking on the subject of reform, an old song, words from an old song came to my mind. It goes like this. I'm going to change the way I walk. I'm going to change the way I talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I said to myself, whoever wrote that song, it put something together. Because walking and talking are developments that come almost at the same time in the life of human beings, walking and talking. Usually the child that's walking can talk a little bit too. And if they're talking, usually he's walking too. So walking and talking like twins, you know, in the developmental progress of human life. They come around the same time, walking and talking. And this world, with its bad influences, when I say this world, I mean the corrupt world, the unconscious world, or I should say maybe the satanic world, that not out to help human life, but out just to exploit human life, to profit, to make money at the risk of human life. That world reaches us with its influences, and it changes the way we think. First, it changes the way we think. Then it changes the way we feel. Because if the way you think changes, then you're open to feel differently too. So it changes first the way we think. Then it changes the way we feel. Then it changes the way we behave. And when the thinking changes, it's expressed in the language. The talk changes. And you know, this, I don't know how this world managed to be so quick. I know I read in the Bible that says one beast has eyes all over him. And I took that to mean spies. That bad society beast has spies everywhere.
Yeah.
And mix among them and let me know what's happening, what the mood changes are.
Yeah.
Let me know what the trends are or what you see developing. So they'll find a youngster walking down the street, and he has went off from the norm. He's left the old behavior, and he's indicating that he got another spirit in him and a different behavior.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be wearing his clothes hanging off his butt. And he'd say, okay, there are a lot of them out there like him, or they're ready to be like him. Let's put him on TV.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
And we're gonna sell a lot of baggy clothes hanging off the butt.
That's right. That's it.
Now, why am I saying this to you out there? Because I believe there's some good conscious ones out there that's going around with your clothes hanging off your butt. That tells the world that cares nothing about human life, cares more about money than anything, that tells that commercial mind in the world that you are one of them, or you are one of their customers, potential or buying already. So let us be conscious and let us fight the world that takes us down and support the world that lifts life up. That's what we have to do. And this is an effort to reform the way you think. And as I said, if we can reform the way you think, I should say we think, we can reform the way we behave. Because your thinking, your behavior doesn't change until your thinking changes. I'm sure you recall being at home with your parents and some child, member of the family, sometimes a distant one, a close one, or outsider may be in the house. Because our parents, some of them, they don't care who's in the house. If you behave in an unconscious way, if you display ignorance and vulgar behavior, they'll correct you. They don't care who you are. They say, hey, this is my house. And they are correct. So they would see someone behaving that way, and they would say, what's gotten into your mind? Isn't that what they would say? What's gotten into your mind? Now, they weren't no psychologists, but they knew, common sense told them, if you're behaving differently, something has gotten into your mind. So a lot of us, we think, oh, I know they bad, but you got to love them. Love them. Come on, hon. I love you anyway, honey. Come on, give me a hug. You should be giving the right cross. Right cross. Muhammad Ali or whoever the popular fighter is now. Right cross. Knock them flat on their back. And that'll be love. But saying, come and give me a hug, that's saying, I like you just as you are. You don't have to change for me. You ain't bothering me with your bad behavior. I like you just as you are. No, we don't. That's not like, that's not love. That's abuse. You're abusing them with that kind of treatment. Yes, and you know, if you're conscious, you benefit from everything good.
Right.
And when you're unconscious, morally, spiritually, when you're unconscious, you are susceptible, you are vulnerable, you're open to everything bad. You lose everything. So we are a people who value human life. Your bad behavior hurts our feelings. The way you treat yourselves pains us right in our hearts. But we are not going to go to the grave with you.
There it is. Right.
We're going to work with the best of us.
All right.
And hope that one day our influence in our areas where we live, in our neighborhoods, will be bigger than the influence of those who don't care about anything but money.
Right.
Or will push everything, every other important issue off the desk if it hurts their money. They just want to keep the money coming big. And they are responsible for all the misery we are seeing now. Not only in the streets, but in our homes. They are responsible. This much damage could not be done to us if it was not for television. Television now brings what's happening from all over the world right into your living room. And you can't be there all the time. You don't know what your children's watching and what they're not watching. So you got corruption having free access, free entry. And that's bad. And what are you going to do? You can't go crazy. I know I won't. I insist upon being sane and reasonable. You can't go crazy and say, hey, I'll beat you to death if you keep watching that. No, you can't do that. So they insist that they're going to watch that stuff, and they're teenagers, they're going to school. You can't beat them to death. You can just keep talking to them and try to reason with them. That's all you can do. And some of us, we do that, and we lose them. They go out of our house. Pretty soon, they don't want to stay with us because we irritate them.
Yeah, that's right.
So they want to stay with somebody else. So they leave us and go stay with somebody else.
Right.
And pretty soon, we find out that they have left the life,
yeah.
The good life.
That's right.
And they have joined those who waste life,
right.
Destroy life. But we only can do our best and have faith that eventually good wins out. Eventually, God takes over.
Yes.
We can only go so far with Satan. And after a while, God will say, I will take charge of this matter. And then God brings his judgment. And the whole world begins to change.
There it is.
People on high that tolerated their abuse of freedom. Freedom to make money at any cost. Freedom to take over the culture.
Yeah.
And make it nothing but a culture for dollars. A culture to produce dollars. Yes? That's almost what our culture is now in the streets.
Right.
And on television. It's a culture to produce dollars. But there come a time eventually that the high-ups in government, the high-ups in church life, and for us, religion, our Muslim life, the high-ups get fed up too. God put in them the spirit. Say, hey, this has gone too far.
That's right. All right, bro.
It has to be checked.
So
high up in religion, in Christianity, I mean world Christianity, Christianity not just here in America, Christianity in Europe, Christianity everywhere, the high ups, they meet and they say, hey, something got to be done about this. It's got to be checked. It's gone too far. And they express themselves in high ups in government, hear of their concern. And those that have the same fear and the same concern in high places in government, they meet with those of the religious establishment.
Right.
Now, I'm talking as though this is something that could happen.
Yeah, come on. Right.
Or something that has happened.
Yes.
But really, what I'm viewing in my mind right now is what's happening at this particular time. So don't think that everything is lost. No. We have people in high government positions and people in high religious positions, church positions, mosque positions, synagogue positions. We have people in high places with influence and with money.
That's right.
And power. We have people who have looked at this ugly scene, this ugly life scene, and the public just going to the graveyard.
Yeah, right.
And they've said, Let them go on their own. But we have to stop those who are profiting on their bad behavior. So privileges that have been given, immoral money makers, is being taken away from them.
Right.
And it won't be long. I think you can see the sign of it in the movie theaters now.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting movies that's coming out that's addressing moral issues.
Yes.
More movies are coming out now that address moral issues. More movies that are coming out now that address the forces of good and evil.
Yeah.
How they are in conflict and in battle with each other.
Yes.
More movies are coming out. That tells us that the influence of those persons or people in high places are reaching even the industry, the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it much or hear it much in the record business, the recording industry for records and songs and stuff like that, music. We don't see it much, but it's there. It's coming. It's growing there, too. And pretty soon, the rapper, don't you know we have good rappers? There are good rappers. There are plenty of good rappers. But you don't see that. They didn't see them in that period. They're still on us. But it's going away. It's a thing of the past.
Right.
That spirit when the vulgar guy is welcome.
Right.
The nasty mouth guy is welcome.
Right.
And the clean mouth guy, we don't want you.
Right.
There's nothing for you to do.
Yeah.
Why don't you go back and get it together again?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Nothing for him. And he really got was help. He got medicine and healing and sweet stuff and good stuff. And the other guy got poison.
Yeah.
Hmm? That's all he got, poison. Drugs in the form of music and song. That's what he got. The time is changing. It's time for reform. Now, you who are Muslims in the audience, and remember the days of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and there are many of you who never became Muslims, but you appreciated the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work for the black people.
Yes, right.
Or for the African Americans. Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if I would describe him in just one statement, I would say he was a man who wanted to dignify the life of his people. And that kind of work, when you look at the whole life and you want to make it more respectful, more respectable, and more respectful, you are looking at it with the eyes of a reformer. You want to reform the life. You remember Carter G. Woodson? We celebrate him every February, Black History Month.
That's right.
He wrote a book challenging us to take on the responsibility ourselves for educating our children.
Right.
And he said it, he took the position that the way we were being educated by the public system was really miseducation. Miseducation. And he was correct. It has changed a lot since his time. A lot. In fact, it's completely new scene. It's not the same scene that Carter G. Woodson was looking at. But it still has a long ways to go yet. It still needs more reforming. And I'm not saying this. It's the educators and the conscious teachers, and also higher education and the institutions of higher education. They are saying it also, that we have to reform our system of education. The textbooks, they still need more correction and more corrections and are reforming. We need to form the way they are composed or the way the writers perceive knowledge and education. So the time is here, and it's going to bring about a good change for the better. And I'm optimistic. I see a good future coming. I think the sickness has reached its course, and a healing time is here. Yes, the healing time is here, and life is going to be beautiful. Also, I want to say to the young people here in the audience that we have to reform the way we see old people.
Yes.
You know, human progress on this earth has been made more and better because the old folks deposited what they had of value from their learning and experiences into the ears and heads of the young. And during that period of time, behind us, a long ways behind us, some of us still do it, but very few. During that period of time, youngsters didn't look at old people and say, oh, I have nothing to do with them, and they have nothing to do with me. No. They felt a strong bond, child and adult, a strong bond. They felt a dependency. And even the rebellious ones, those that were of bad behavior, they had some respect for elders, some respect for senior citizens, some respect for old folks. But all that was destroyed too with this new popular culture that took over. Yes? All that was lost. Also, adults, you have to reform the way you see the young people. I hear them saying, oh, well, you know, they're just young. And they don't add, and they don't know. You stop doing that. But I remember the time when you said, oh, they're just young, they don't know. They have learned so much, you don't say they don't know anymore. You know, they know more than the average one of us, that's for sure. Especially about this world and life out there. Yes. But we have to change the way we look. We have to change and reform. Change, reform, same. We have to reform the way we look at the youngsters. We shouldn't look at them and say, oh, they're young, and they're just caught up in that young life, and I hope they survive it, you know. You can't look at them like that. You got to look at them and say, if all of them go bad, we all are going to become extinct.
That's it. All right.
Because our future is in our children. And the good life and good spirit that God put in human life, human nature, had us wanting to deposit the best of ourselves as we see ourselves getting more and more away from the energetic life, getting near to retirement. An urge came over us to share with our children, with the young, what we got so that they will have more to work with for their future. So we have to start looking at them like that again. We have to look at our children, our grandchildren. The Imam Daniel Kareem, Rafa, I'm sorry, he mentioned that I'm a grandfather. Rafa, I'm a great-grandfather. I got great grandchildren. Yeah. And you see how it's supposed to go?
Yeah.
Rafa?
Oh, yes.
See, you have a father, then you have a grandfather. And then you have great grandfather.
That's right.
See, it's supposed to get improved.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
as the family line grows, you're supposed to be achieving more.
Yes, sir.
So now he produced me. He's a father.
Right.
Now he produced me, and I produced a child from him,
yes.
from his line.
That's right.
Now he's a grandfather.
Right. Yes.
Grand.
Yes.
They try to make me feel uncomfortable. Say, hey, are you his grandfather? Talking about my young son. He's my son. Are you his grandfather, aren't you? I say, yes, I'm his grandfather, and he's my grandson. Now, it's something when you become a great-granddaddy. Not only grand, you're great. So, appreciating life, that's where it all starts. Man, when God made him on this earth, he thought about himself and he thought about the world all about him. And he realized that there was more in the world than he could possibly use. There was just too much out there for him.
That's right, right.
He didn't have an appetite to use everything out there. So it made him wonder, why have I been put in a world like this to think and understand and be free to benefit from all of this beauty and all of this wealth and good stuff out here? And he started to reflect, and he came up with the idea that that couldn't have happened unless somebody was over it and cared about life.
Yes.
God.
Yes. All right.
God. And we know that the ancient and those of medieval times and those around us here right now, those conscious people and teachers in religion, they say the first bond you should have is with God. And they say never break that bond. Form a tie, a relationship with God, and never break it. That's the key to survival and good life on this planet Earth. So they told us that, and some of us, we don't want to hear anything. I was speaking once, and a young lady, she's not young anymore, but she was young then, she said, will you stop talking? I don't want to think. I don't want to. Will you stop talking? I don't want to think. I don't want to think.
Yeah.
Now, she was a little bit conscious. Yes, she was.
Yes, sir.
Because she knew that I was making her think.
Oh, yeah.
Now they have regressed and gone so far away from intelligent human life that they don't even, you don't bother. They don't even know you're talking. While you're talking, they're chewing, popping gum, or shaking the booty. They don't hear a thing you're saying. Can't hear a thing you're saying. Now that's dead, isn't it? Yeah, moral death. Spiritual and moral death. Yes. So another thing, you know, we should see our youngsters doing well and let everybody know they exist. Because those who want to use us and make money on our bad behavior, they are going to find the bad guy and the bad girl, and they're going to make sure that they are known.
Yes, sir.
So what is that doing to our good youngsters? It's making them wonder. I don't do those things. And look at them hugging that bad guy. And they, come here, honey. I still love you just like you are. Give me a hug. And the good guy looking at that, right? The good son or good friend looking at that and saying, hey, I'm living right, and I don't get no attention.
Yeah.
And he's notoriously bad. And he's getting all the attention. We have to reverse that. We have to stop that. We have to start recognizing the good child. Let the good child come up here and speak. Yes. And that'll help the good child, and eventually it'll tell the bad child, you got to get popular another way. You know, a lot of them are bad just because they know it's popular to be bad. We can change all that. Another area we need to look at is the way we see the city, the public facilities, the sidewalk outside the house, the curb in the streets in front of your house,
yes.
The lawn,
yes.
The walk you take to go to the store,
yes.
The walk you take through the park, the vehicle, the public vehicle you ride on,
yes.
The bus, the train, whatever, we have to perceive it differently.
Yes.
These things belong to all of us.
All right. Yes, sir.
You have the ghost of the plantation in you. The ghost of the plantation say, this is a white man's.
Yeah, right. That's right.
The white man's street. He owned this street. White man owned this sidewalk.
Yeah.
Let me dirt it up. Let me trash it. Let me spit on it. Let me break out a window.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Become destructive, and we destroy our environment.
That's right.
We make ugly our own environment that we're living in.
That's right.
And an ugly environment makes your spirit ugly. It either kills the spirit or makes it ugly. Or it makes the spirit run out from that environment. It's going to affect you one way or the other. You're going to rebel against it and get away from it, which a lot of people do because they can afford to. They can afford to go out of that area. They go out of that area and move to a place where people are respecting intelligent behavior more, intelligent life more. Yes? But most of us don't move out. We don't have the money to move out.
Right.
We stay in that area, and the area sometimes corrupt us.
Mm-hmm.
Just the environment will corrupt you. You're waking up in an ugly, filthy, trashy environment.
Come on.
It will corrupt you. Or it will take your spirit, your positive spirit, away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll become unconscious, not caring anymore. You give up. I've heard some say, I can't handle all this. I had to throw up my hands. Now I see it and I just walk right by it. Too much for them. It overwhelmed their spirit to stay straight.
That's right.
Yes. So you want a good spirit. You want to feel good inside. You want to feel like going to work. Make that environment pretty, pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty up your environment. Parents used to insist that a child keep the toys where the toys belong.
That's right. Come on.
Put your clothes up.
Yes.
Put the dirty clothes where they go.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
He used to insist upon these things. That's the natural spirit. That's the spirit in life, the original spirit in life that God created human beings with.
Yes.
The original spirit wants to see order and beauty.
Yes.
And life thrives on order and beauty. So we would get up and make up our beds, mm-hmm. put our shoes together,
yeah.
right shoe with left shoe.
Yeah.
Now we just throw them around.
That's right.
That burns life.
Yeah.
Now you have to go. You got to go. You got to go out to a date or go out to school or whatever. You got to find your shoe.
Yeah.
You got a certain shoe, pair of shoes you want to wear.
Yeah.
You got to find your shoe. You go crazy and start sweat, little beads of sweat back on your head, trying to find your shoe. Now look how you're torching your life.
Yeah.
Let us go back to the old. Let us reform.
Yeah.
Reform means do it again.
Yeah.
Form all over.
Yeah.
Let us reform ourselves and put those shoes together, life, right shoe with left shoe,
yeah.
and put them where they're supposed to go, under the bed or wherever they're supposed to go, so they'll be ready for you when you need them. Do that.
Yeah.
And everything else that you have to use.
Yeah.
You know, we have a saying in religion that even a child is going to be made accountable on Judgment Day.
That's right.
And God is going to ask the child, how did you treat the properties that your parents put in your possession? So that means, how did you treat your clothes? How did you treat your shoes and socks, huh? How did you treat your toys? How did you treat your books? Huh? Did you treat those things with respect? If you didn't, the judgment is going to fall even on a child.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Child going to fall in hellfire.
Go ahead.
I saw one fall already.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I did. Like a falling star.
Yes.
And down into the flames of consuming passions
right.
that take life to hell. We appreciate you tuning in on us. We are happy on all occasions to address our audience, and we hope that in some way we benefit the living, and I think if the living are benefited, the dead will feel it. So we pray that more of the living will grow in the good life that God created us for and prosper in the good way. Don't be afraid to think big as long as you're thinking right.
Yeah.
Don't think small.
Yeah.
Because thinking is what profits human life. And thinking, God says, with Him in mind, is the most productive of all thinking or all thought.
All right.
Thinking with Him in mind. So let us keep God in mind as we think ourselves into a better life and reform our attitudes, reform our understanding, our perception, our thinking, reform everything
yeah.
that's in the way of us having the life that we know is good for us. And may God keep us always and have a good year. We greet our radio audience with peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That God is greater. Greater than anything imaginable.